Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and I am the spokesman for the King of Glory. And it's good to be here, and we ask you that question, which is you'll thank heaven for, and that is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? So it's good to be here, and we thank God for all of our followers on our Facebook followers and all of our Twitter followers and our Facebook friends, our Blog Talk friends and followers, our LinkedIn connections. Thank God for you and you being tuned in to Truth Ministry on Blog Talk Radio. We want you to know, as we know, there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So it's good to be here. We thank God for that. That was none other than the word of the Lord that I read out of Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and written Paul's letter written to the church at Ephesus. The Ephesians had already been to the water, already been baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, already received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues, just like they did on the day of Pentecost, being born of water and of the Spirit, that is the new birth, which was revealed to the apostles. So thank God for that. So we have to believe on Jesus through their word in the 17th chapter of St. John. So thank God we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So it's good to be here, and we thank God for his word. So David, the patriot, said, thy word is forever settled in heaven. So interest of thy word giveth light. It gives understanding to the simple. He says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So his word is so very important, because it's not what we say, but it's what the word of the Lord says. So heaven and earth's going to pass away. Jesus said, not one jot or tittle of the law shall pass away till all be fulfilled. So that is good to know. So it's not us, but it's the word of God. So we just have to do what he says. So it's good to be here. We thank God that on last week we were talking about add to your faith. And so today we're continuing. So we were actually came out of 2 Peter. So we're going to continue on. That is so very important, this particular lesson. So many deceivers and all kinds of folks saying all kinds of things, like I mentioned on before, last week and the week before. There are people that are trying to take a hold of the apostolic mantle, and they're not baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. They don't have the apostles' doctrine, which was the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. They were astonished at his doctrine during his earthly ministry, because he taught as one that having authority and not as the scribes. So the apostles' doctrine is the apostles' teaching. And this is where you will find salvation, in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. And it all began Jerusalem. So this is what the gospel message is all about. And the gospel initially was for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He ended the gospel of the kingdom. So they're still under the law in the gospel. It's showing us how to get out, pointing us to Christ, the works of Christ. John the Baptist being beheaded. Jesus and John the Baptist both hurling on the scene with the exact same message: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so message was initially, like I said, that was the gospel of the kingdom, initially for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but he was going to be a light unto the Gentiles. So that's why writer John says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent not his son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So he that believeth on him, believeth not on him, is condemned already, because he hath not believed, here's the key, on the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation that's coming to the world, that men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. Everyone that hateth the light don't come to the light. He don't want his deeds to be reproved. So this is what happens. So this is why Jesus emphatically said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So no man spake like that. That was in the 8th chapter of St. John, the 7th chapter of St. John. That last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried. That means he proclaimed, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. The writer goes on to say, this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive, because the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So anyway, the officers were saying, where is he? You know, why haven't you brought him? Then somebody spoke up and said, never man spake like this man. So he definitely is the Messiah. And the Jews, as a nation, they didn't believe him. That's why they go into that wall, the Wailing Wall, they call it. But that when they turn their heart to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. That veil was done away in Christ. So this is what is the 2 Corinthians, the letter that he wrote, you know, about when it shall turn to the Lord, then shall the veil be taken away. And then he says, not as Moses, when he talked to the children of Israel, he had to put a veil on his face, because when he came down out of that mount, he wist not that his face shone. That means, I guess, a good example is if in the evening, when just before sunset, you're driving toward the west, you can't see. You need your sun visor, sunglasses, and everything else. So he had to put a veil on because his face shone. He didn't even know that it was shining like it was. And when he talked to him, he took the veil off, talking about God. So Israel as a whole didn't accept Jesus as the Messiah, as the Savior of the world, as the Christ, the anointed, the Christos, the anointed flesh of God. So we thank God for his word and the blessed privilege that we have to get back into the perfect law of liberty. So James says, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. So we, before, like I said, we were talking about the virtues that he was saying, add to your faith. And then so he said, knowledge, temperance, patience, brotherly kindness, charity. And he went on to say, you know, these attributes that you need to have, if they be in you and abound, you shall never be unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on, add to your faith virtue, knowledge, knowledge, temperance, temperance, patience, godliness, godliness, brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness, charity. These things be in you and abound, and make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you're steady working on yourself is the point. So we mentioned a couple of definitions, actually three. We mentioned a virtue, behavior, or showing high moral standards. We mentioned, we kind of just flew through abstinence, temperance, moderation, or self-restraint, especially in eating or drinking, and patience, able to accept or tolerate delays, problems, or suffering without becoming annoyed or anxious. So that's patience. So he says all these things we got to do, we're working on our self. Remember now, always you hear me say from time to time, one of the most important things that pertinent to the message on the day of Pentecost when Peter said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. So we can't blame anybody else, but we got to work on, like Paul said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's God which worketh in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. So he goes on here, he's talking about, we add all these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes on, and I read them off just a couple minutes ago, but he that lacketh these things, what things? The things that he's talking about, knowledge, temperance, patience, brotherly kindness, charity. And so he goes on, if you lack these things, you're blind. What is he talking about? Spiritually blind. That's what he's talking about. You cannot see afar off and have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So he goes on, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an interest shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then Peter goes on talking about things that the Lord is going to show him after his decease, you know, after his demise. And so he was just saying, he was admonishing the people of God to be established in present truth. Because he was saying, we haven't followed cunning devised fables, which we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. So remember, if you've been following me, one of the signs of being an apostle is that you had to see the Lord. What did he say? We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. These people want to be, call themselves, and I mean I marvel at all women and men calling themselves apostles. I mean, that's ridiculous. you weren't sent forth. So that office is done away with. And I mean, it's like I mentioned about the scripture in the book of the Revelation, says his ought that he had against in the first three chapters. He was saying about those that call themselves apostles and are not, he says, they've been found liars. So, I mean, there are no apostles because we have given the scriptures and we've given the signs of what an apostle did. But he received from God the Father. Remember, God is the Spirit. He couldn't contain all of God in that one body. But he received from God the Father and glory, honor and glory, I'm sorry, when there came such a voice from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a sure word, more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So this is, brings us right into our lesson, what we want to talk about today, and we're going to go into the second chapter of 2 Peter, about talking about the false prophets and the false teachers, because this is a continuation of what happened. So should you desire to call in, our call-in number, 646-716-6566. That is 646-716-6566. Should you desire to call in, you have a comment, you have a question, you are welcome. So I mean, on last week, I kind of got a gentleman started off okay, because he was asking a question about hip hop. Then he ended up being very belligerent at the end of the conversation. So that's, nobody's mad but the devil. So I understand that. Anytime you're doing something for the Lord, you're proclaiming the word, the truth. That's why this broadcast is called Truth. Nobody mad but the devil. So you're going to get opposition. But one thing I serve you notice. Anybody wanting to call in and try to take me off track or to try to come against me, I rebuke you right now in the name of Jesus, and I let you know I'm in charge. I'll cut you right off. So if you don't want to have a honest question or a decent comment without being belligerent and all that, so you'll get cut off, and that's just the way it is. So we're not here for no foolishness, but we're here to declare the word of the Lord. So our ongoing theme is the Godhead, which is the God. God is the head of all things. So everyone don't understand the Godhead. There was no divine Trinity. That is a lie. That's a whole lie. Divine Trinity and all that. That's ridiculous. I mean, God is eternal. He always was by himself. He was way back there in eternal. Just like he says, is there a God beside me? I don't know of any. There's none with him. There's none before him. There's none beside him. There's none after him. He said, I am the Lord. Beside me, there is no Savior. That proves who he is. So Isaiah says that every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear to God. Paul picked it up. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So he talks about the name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So you got to understand, God is the Spirit. He's an omnipresent spirit. He can be whatever he wants to be and never cease to be who he is. So John, out of all the gospel writers, he talks about a divine God. That's why he starts off, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. He was, you know, the light. The life was the light of men. Light shined in the darkness. Darkness comprehended it not. And then he goes on. He changes the subject. I don't use that when I'm coming on. He said, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. That's changing it. That's changing the subject. He was not that light when he was sent to bear witness to the light that all men through him might believe. Then he goes on back into it. He was in the world talking about Jesus, talking about the Lord himself. And the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. And he goes on, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Not only unto them that believe on his name, but those that believe, you know, talking about the will of God. So then he goes on and say, the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And he goes, ends it saying, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So this is kind of like in Romans 3:23, Paul says, for the wages of sin is death. But, there's that but again, but the gift of God is eternal life. How is that? Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So, we got to understand. You got to get an understanding. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all thy getting, get an understanding. There's one God. Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy, the second chapter. He says, I want, you know, about prayers and supplications, everything going up. Oh, man, you know, all the people that he say, and for kings, all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life. And he goes on to say, there is one God. And one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. So you just have to understand the office of sonship was given for a purpose. In the house of Israel, they're going to know. They're going to see those nail prints in his hands, his side, his feet. When did you get those? He's going to say, I was wounded in the house of my friends. So we go on here. So this first chapter of 2 Peter was very important because we're talking about adding to your faith. So this is what the apostle was saying. So we end up right here. He's letting us know, like, man, this thing, like Paul, in the 26th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, when he asked King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? And then he answered. He says, I know that thou believest. And then King Agrippa answered back to St. Paul and said, almost persuadest thou me to be a Christian. But see, almost is not good enough. Almost in is always out. Almost heaven is always hell. Almost saved is always lost. Almost right is always wrong. So almost ain't going to do it. But you too, like we say, we're trying to let you know you can have the salvation of God. So we go, we're going to continue on here. So we're talking about adding to your faith. So today, Apostle Peter is warning the people of God about false teachers, false prophets. So many shall follow their pernicious ways, of whom he goes on to say, the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. So these people are worshiping that man that they call the Pope on this week that's coming. First time he's come, this particular one, has come to the United States. I mean, you're worshiping a man, and he's not the Messiah. He is not God. I mean, God's word doesn't change. So a real man of God is going to say what God says. It doesn't change. So this is what we have to look at. So the word is forever settled in heaven. He has magnified his word. The writer says, thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. So he watches over his word talking about God, to perform it. He can't lie. Hebrew writer says, God, he can't lie. When he swear by no greater, he swear by himself. That means he swore alone, he swore to himself. So he can't lie. He said it was impossible for God to lie, that we might have a strong consolation. So he is God, and he can't. So here, Apostle Peter admonishing the people of God, but there were false prophets also among the people. So what is he talking about? Even back then, you had people doing stuff. Simon the sorcerer was bewitching people, and he wanted the power of the Holy Ghost when he saw St. Peter lay his hands on someone and they received the Holy Ghost. Have to understand that Jesus gave Peter the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Told him, whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, I'll loose in heaven. That means exactly what it says. He was the apostle to the Jews. Apostle Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. The church does have binding and loosing power. They couldn't receive the Holy Ghost until the man that got there had the keys. He had the words of eternal life. And so God is always concerned about his order. So that's why when the angel appeared unto Cornelius in Acts, the 10th chapter, says, send the Joppa to one Simon a tanner's house who dwelleth by the seaside. One Simon Peter, who, you know, he was there with him. When he come, he'll tell thou what thou oughtest to do. So God sent the angel. The angel couldn't tell him because God has committed this ministry into the hands of men. So words, people use words. People have, like I've said, people have a play on words. And I'm very particular about that because some things you can just say what it says. I mean, sometimes we do paraphrase, but there's no need to paraphrase the term watch and pray. And you know what the paraphrase is? Watch as well as pray. No, watch and pray. And then you got people saying stuff, paraphrase. They say terms like that instead of that's nothing to paraphrase. Watch and pray. Because you watch and pray. He said, pray that you enter not into temptation. So if you're watching and praying, you're watching yourself more than you are others. You can't help nobody else if you're down. So you got to watch yourself more than anything. So words are what are going to destroy people or save people. So words that are very, you got to be very particular with words. Some people say, oh, you're technical. Yeah, you got to be the Bible is technical. He's not playing. You know, ain't no, we pray in thy name. I mean, no, we pray in the name of Jesus. You know, somebody said one prayer that they prayed in the name of the Holy Child, Jesus. That's fine. They know who they ain't no, you scared, you embarrassed. People are scared to bless their food when they out eating. I mean, you could get food poisoned. And if anybody, that's the worst, that's you feel like you're dying when you get food poison. And the only reason why you don't is because your body rejects it. It gets you all drained down, you'll be dehydrated. But that, you just have to get hydrated back and build your system back up because your body rejected that poison when you get food poison. So you need to not be scared to ask God's blessing on your food. I mean, something as simple as that. But people, what's highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. I mean, people try to act like, oh, I don't need help. No, you need help. Everybody does. We need our help. Comes from the Lord. That's why David said, I look up to the hills. I lift my eyes into the hills from which comes my help. His help ain't coming from the hills. His help is coming from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. So in other words, he know that his help is coming from the Lord. So ain't no the man upstairs and all that, that's crazy. No, Jesus, the Father. You scared to say it? Some people are. But he goes on here, there were false prophets also among the people. He's talking about at that time when he was writing, even as there shall be false teachers among you. So what is he talking about? He's talking about future tense. So we have come to that time who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. So many shall follow their pernicious ways, by whom by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Through covetousness shall they with feign words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. So he's letting you know that God is not playing. He's going to, and I mean, there's a scripture says, he that hardened his neck is up, who, it's in Proverbs, he that is often reproved and hardened his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. So that happens. I mean, sometimes things happen, they cover up stuff with folks. Like that one preacher from Florida went to New York, they found him OD'd for cocaine in a hotel room in New York, and they tried to cover it up. No, he got uncovered. So God is not playing. So people try to, you need to tell the truth about stuff, trying to smooth it over. No, that don't work. God is not playing. So hope of a hypocrite, but if God spared not the angels that sin, cast them down to hell, delivered them in the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that should after live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. So in other words, he troubled his soul. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. So the point being, like people try to think it's funny about Kim Davis, the clerk in Kentucky, not wanting to give marriage license to same sex couples. I mean, that's ridiculous. Can't even say it hardly. I mean, that's ridiculous. That is not God. It could have went either way. It was 5-4. It could have went either way. But you got folks, they were doing what they wanted anyway. They want insurance. They want benefits. They want to be power of attorney, all these different things they want to do with their partner. So God letting them have their way. See, this is what people don't understand. You cannot, if God hadn't overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah and that stuff would have been going on, some of us wouldn't even be here right now because we wouldn't have been born. Because two men can't make a baby and two women by themselves can't make a baby. They can't procreate. You have to have a male and a female. You have to have a seed. And you have to have an egg. It has to be a male and a female. That's the way God made it. And so it doesn't matter. It's, you know, all unrighteousness is sin. So Peter's making mention about this. God is not playing. He's going to judge it, and he's not playing. That is, you cannot be in love with another man. You can love your brother as a human. You can love another woman as your sister, but you, that is a damnable and abominable in the sight of God. In other words, he hates it. It's abominable. He hates it. Two men working that which is unseemly. You can read in the first couple of chapters of Romans, two women together working that which is unseemly. God hates it. And that foolishness of a man dressing up like a woman, and I'm not going to call that particular man, I'm not calling him no new name. He is who he is. He was been a man all these years. He had children. He was married a couple times. All of a sudden now, The devil got people. He gets your mind. He'll possess you. You do what he says. He'll have you all twisted up, saying you're living a lie. No, you ain't living no lie. You weren't living a lie if you were a man and you had a couple of wives and you made children. And, I mean, are you going to wait till you get old and in your 60s and putting on women's clothes? You're out of your mind. You're crazy is what it is. But, no, the devil got your mind. So the people calling right wrong and wrong right, and they have no shame in their game. So all liars and adulterers and whoremongers and murderers and thieves and all of that, they're going to have their part in the lake which burneth in fire with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So in other words, you, ain't no sense of even being a hypocrite. Like these lying people, lying to people about sowing a seed. There's no such thing as sowing a seed. The seed is the word of God. A seed is not money. When you give tithe or pay tithe, whatever terminology you want to live, and give a free will offering, that is what God requires. The tenth and a free will offering. Ain't no sow no seed, buy a blessing. You can't bribe God. That's totally ridiculous, and they're out of their minds, and they're crazy, and they got all of this hype and emotion that they have people build up to believe that foolishness. But when you know better, you won't do it. I told somebody I'm not going to be hustled or pimped by nobody, and I mean that. So you got to know. You got to save yourself like Peter said. So it goes on here, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. Remember, notice that's plural. And to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. So, I mean, this people should be ashamed. I mean, some people are leaving their wives for another man. Some women are leaving their husbands for another woman. I mean, that foolishness that went on in Lansing, Michigan, these two state reps had an affair, as they call it. No, they committed adultery. One of them was married, and the other one wasn't, and the other one was committing adultery against their spouse. Or the other one was not married, and one was, then the other one was a fornicator. So what's the difference? And then, I mean, so the man tried to deflect and cover it up, try to deflect like he was having an affair with a man. I mean, that's stupid. Like that ain't nothing. Like that's something to be proud of, that you had a homosexual relationship with another man, and you was messing around with another woman. I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, the devil had to make a monkey out of you, make a total fool out of you. A complete fool. So anyway, they both got to. He resigned, and they both are out of there. Point being, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous, are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord, but these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not, shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. This is what Peter is saying. Having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray for following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozar, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumbass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds they are, carried with the tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. Great swelling words of vanity. They are lured through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness. Those that are clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, of whom a man is overcome the same as he bought into bondage. So he goes on here, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, after they had known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. So that's horrible. In other words, I mean, what a comparison you get. You're like a dog turned to his own vomit, or you're like a hog returned to wallowing in the mire. I mean, you could spray them down. It'd be so hot in the summertime, that's why hogs get in mud to cool off. You could spray them down, but he's going to go right back in there again, because that's what he is, a pig, a hog. He's going to do what he does. So no sense in that's a dog spirit. That's a nasty spirit, that same-sex stuff. And that's foolishness, and God is against it, and it doesn't matter who don't believe it. What if some do not believe? Should their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? God forbid. So God's not playing. So you can't marry the same gender. I mean, 30 or 40 years ago, you would try to get a preacher to marry you. They would have told you that was the illegal procedure. Like I've said before, you cannot marry somebody that's still married. That's what you call bigamy. And you marrying somebody that's divorced, I mean, that's a problem with too many people today. Folks are married. I mean, people have been married numbers of times. All these living husbands and living wives still walking around married to somebody else. That's crazy. That makes no sense. No, no, no. There are reasons that God, that a marriage can be severed. Every case has to be judged by his own merits. The main one is till death do you part. And then there are other reasons why a marriage, even a marriage, can be annulled. That means it's void, like it never happened. There are reasons that these things can be, but every case has to be judged by his own merits. But you just can't hop up and say, well, I was in the flesh. That wasn't God. And look for somebody else. I mean, people are saying all kinds of things, but you, the word is the word. Marriage is honorable and all, Hebrew writer says, and the bed undefiled, but adulterers and whoremongers God will judge. So everybody better got to get themselves right. Look at themselves and judge themselves now so you won't be judged. So this is what Peter was saying. The time has come in the book of Peter that judgment must begin at the house of God. So that judgment is now. So it first begin on with us. What shall the end of them be which obey not the gospel? And he goes on to say, so if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall ungodly and the sinner appear? So this is what he's talking about. None of you suffer as a murderer. Now, murderer is a legal term. That has nothing to do with self-defense. Somebody comes in your house, my house, try to kill me. I crack him with a baseball bat or scald him with water or shoot him or whatever. That's what you call two words, self-defense. That's not a murderer. Murder is a legal term. Murderer, that's why they say first degree and all that. That means a person purposed in their heart that they were going to do that, like David. He committed adultery with Bathsheba. He purposed in his heart to kill Uriah, her husband, send him out to the hottest battle to get rid of him so he could cover up his sin because he took the man's wife. So that's a murderer. But God loved him because he knew his heart. But Peter goes, these things are written for our learning, that we through comfort and patience of the scriptures might have hope. Those things were written aforetime, Romans 15:4. But Peter says, let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer. So, or as a busybody in other men's matter. If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Then he goes on. Here it is right here. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first began at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? That's a question. And so that's why he said, and if the righteous scarcely be saved. So what do you mean? Somebody said, we're just going to barely make it in. No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying that the righteous are going to have their difficulties. No, we're going to go sweeping through the city. I mean, the Lord's going to descend from heaven to catch the church away with the shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God all simultaneously. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. That don't sound like we're just barely making it. He says, we shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. The trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. This corruptible must put on immortality. Incorruption is mortal must put on immortality. Then, when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written. This is in Hosea. Death is swallowed up in victory. That's why he asked the question. St. Paul, in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, oh, death, I got a question for you. Where is that sting? Oh, grave, I got a question for you. Where is your victory? Then he goes on, the sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So this is no joke. People think it's funny, you know, that your worst enemy is yourself. That's why he says, be sober, Peter said. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Then he says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And he says, the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. We scared of that word. The word perfect simply means maturity. That we, just like I said, in the book of Ephesians, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith unto the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of this fullness of the stature of Christ. And he goes on to say that we be no more, henceforth, no more children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, he goes on to say, may grow up, there it is right there, in him who is the head of all things, even Christ. That word perfect means, perfection means maturity. And that's what he said, grow up in him who is the head of all things, even Christ. Matthew 5 and 48, Jesus said, be therefore perfect, even as my Father in heaven is perfect. Apostle Paul said, be perfect, and 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. He says it more than once. Be perfect. Question, will God tell you to do something he knew you couldn't do? The answer, no. You got to understand what biblical perfection is. And too many times, people are scared of words. And some of these new translations have explained the Bible away. And that's what some of these false teachers and false prophets are doing. I'm so sick of these folks lying. Oh, yeah, the Lord just spoke to me and said, 80 of you, if you praise him, this is going to happen. That, like, God ain't told him that. He's a lie. And then it's always a number. Like, what about the other 400 people that's in there? I mean, that's a lie. God ain't told you that. Oh, he's going to do this for your son or your daughter because you praised him. No, he ain't. He's going to do what he said he's going to do anyway, because he's saving souls. That's what he came to do, not for you to call that number and sow that seed, and all that foolishness. That's garbage. Because what it is, they're greedy of filthy lucre, and they're making money. And you got folks lying on there. I don't care if you're a bishop, whoever you call yourself, or pastor, whoever you are, you a liar. If you ain't saying, your aim, your motive, your intents, you should be have the salvation of souls in mind instead of all this stuff these people are calling themselves prophesying. They're lying is what they're doing, and people are scared to say something about it, but they're false prophets. came to seek and to save that which was lost. The gospel is about the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's ascension. It's sending back the Holy Ghost. Him coming back, making his appearing to take the church out of here, and he's going to come back again the second time. The church is going to be with him. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. When he step on that Mount of Olives and crack it in half, that's the second coming. What Jude talks about, Enoch speaks of these. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. That's the second coming. So Peter writes here, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, and both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continued as they were from the beginning of creation. This they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water, and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perish. But as he's talking about the days of Noah, but the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved under fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So he goes on here, but, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Excuse me. That's the will of God. His will is that none be lost, but all none that all be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So no, we're not talking about the disciples when he made that statement, I chose 12 of you, one of you is a devil. We're not talking about that. We moved on. That was what he said then, because people try to take the, well, what about the thief? That was under the law too. When Jesus said, it hath been said, but I say. Now the gospel is established. The day of Pentecost has fully come. We got to do what the new salvation way of being born again tells us. That is, it was revealed unto the apostles, told them to go back to Jerusalem. Thus it behooved Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day. He opened up their understanding that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. He goes on to let them know, thus I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Led them up as far as Bethany, blessed them, lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while they looked, he was parted, taken up into heaven. So this is why Luke picks it up. Luke writes, he picks it up in Acts, the first chapter, you know, about how they were saying, they asked Jesus a question. Without again, restore again the kingdom to Israel. He let them know it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. Excuse me. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the othermost part of the earth. This is in Acts, the first chapter. So we're going on here to finish this out. Our time is almost gone, so we were talking about God's his will. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance, because we're talking about these people speaking evil. And this is what these people are doing, speaking evil of the way of truth. So he said, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass, heavens, that's plural, pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what things? The heavens and the earth. Then he goes on, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? He's talking about your lifestyle, the word conversation. looking for it, hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire. Notice you got to pay very close attention to repetition. This is going to be burned up. Shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. So he's asking a question. It's repetitive. It's rhetorical. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, see that ye look for such things. Seeing that you look for such things, so in other words, that's what you should be doing. Be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. And also in all his epistles, speaking in them of things, these things, and speaking of them in these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. So you got to be born again to get this. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things before, beware lest also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. So in other words, you got to watch yourself, just like he was saying. And he goes on here, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom be glory both now and forever. Amen. So we thank God for the word of the Lord, and we ask you our most important question. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? So we thank God. Thank you. Thank you for listening to True Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed in the world, received up into glory. God bless you. And remember, my question to you is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?